Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to WellFit Radio Chicago, sponsored by Momentum Fitness and Health. Let us help you find your momentum. My name is Jason Benkis, and I am your host and the founder of Momentum. I'm an award-winning and published certified personal trainer, as well as a holistic health coach, board-certified holistic health coach. You have questions about health, fitness, and nutrition, and we have the answers right here. Every week, we scour the internet or ask our viewers what they'd like to hear more about, and then we make sure we answer those questions right here for you. So tune in here live every week or listen archived at any time by visiting our page right here or our site right here on Blog Talk Radio. You can also check out our Facebook page for times each week. Just look for Momentum Fitness and Health, and as some of you might actually be viewing this on our Facebook page, we're going to be streaming live from our Facebook page now. We just took a simple update on the iPad to get that going. All right, so you can also find us at findingyourmomentum.com. And like I said, we are live streaming both in our private group and on our public page as well. Thank you for joining me today or whenever you might be listening. There is one thing killing more men and women in America than anything else. One thing, and I'm not talking about just older adults, but I mean but men and women in their 40s and 50s. And that's heart disease. Now, I want you to pay attention to these stats that I'm about to put out there. There are 17.3 million deaths from heart disease that occur per year globally. 300,000 people die from heart attacks each year, and that's only 8% of all heart attack victims. So that means that there are over 3 million heart attacks and strokes per year, and 1.5 million of them happen in America. So almost half of all heart attacks and strokes happen in America, and America only makes up 5% of the world's population. So about 610,000 people die of heart disease in the United States every year. Now, that's one out of every four deaths are from heart disease. So 25% of the deaths in America from that one thing. Now, heart disease is the leading cause of death for both men and women. So it doesn't play favorites here. More than half of the deaths are due to heart disease in 2009, however, were men. Now, coronary heart disease is the most common type of heart disease, killing over 370,000 people every single year. Every year, 735,000 Americans have a heart attack. Of these 735,000 heart attacks, 525,000 are first-time heart attacks, and 210,000 happened in people who have already had a heart attack. So this is their second heart attack. So who's at risk? Who's at risk for heart attacks? Those with high blood pressure, high cholesterol, smoking, those are key risk factors for heart disease. And about half of Americans, 47%, have at least one of these three risk factors. Now, several other medical conditions and lifestyle choices can also put people at a higher risk for heart disease, including diabetes, being overweight or obese. As we know, over a third of the United States is obese, especially more so in the southern parts of the United States where there's a lot more fried foods, poor diet, physical inactivity, and excessive alcohol use. These things put you at higher risk for heart disease. Does it mean absolutely that you're going to get heart disease? No. You might have good genes, you might have bad genes. It just means you have to do things a little bit differently. Because, I mean, this isn't just an old person's disease or a natural part of aging. over half of those with heart disease are under the age of 65. And kids as young as 9 are showing warning signs. 9. Can you believe that? 9 years old, kids are showing warning signs of heart disease. It's unbelievable. And an obese child is slurping down energy drinks. And that's just a ticking time bomb. An absolute ticking time bomb. Our hearts are not healthy. Now, all these stats that I just read are from the CDC. So I'm not just making them up. I'm getting them from a fairly reputable source. And so, you know what's not on the list of risk factors? The one thing that a lot of people use to say, oh, I'll be fine, or I just have to deal with it is, oh, heart disease runs in my family, so I just have to accept that one of these days I'm going to have a heart attack. Don't ever say that. Don't ever let me catch you saying that. Because, sure, you can be predisposed. But that doesn't mean that you're automatically doomed to have a heart attack. The same goes for cancer, but I'm not going to talk about that today. It means that you need to work a bit harder at avoiding heart disease. There are things that you need to do. So what has caused this increase in heart disease, heart attack, and stroke? What has caused us to be overweight, inactive, and adopt an unhealthy diet? It's a very, very simple answer. It's our lifestyle. Our lifestyles are completely different from how they were 30, 40, 50, 60 years ago. Jobs have changed. Your job, your work has probably changed quite a bit. Years ago, more and more jobs involved manual labor. Work was exercise. Today, Americans work more hours than at any other time in history. We're constantly working 10 to 12-hour days and in jobs that are often sedentary, sitting behind desks or at booths. And because of that, we've had to develop these massive gyms to create spaces for people to get in daily activity. Now, currently it's recommended that we get 30 minutes a day of rigorous activity or exercise. But today, only 20.6% of Americans are getting that recommended amount of exercise. That's only 1 in 5 people. That's sad. But it's reality. Today, parents are working those 10 to 12 hours, and they have their kids to attend to, and whatever activities they have going on, whether it's soccer or recitals or band or whatever they've got going on, you know, we throw a lot of time into our kids. Trust me, I get this now. My daughter's only 2, but I throw a lot of time into making sure that my daughter's getting the things that she needs. So it's scary how much time we don't have for exercise. It's not easy. But it's not impossible, but it isn't easy. But you do the best that you can. Now, gym memberships are actually up over the last few years. You know, people start out with great intentions. I'm going to join the gym, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that, and do this. But what makes it easier is that these generic gyms, they're only $20 a month, so it's affordable. But these gyms have an attrition rate of 67%. Meaning 67 out of every 100 people that join one of these smaller gyms like this, cheaper gyms, never come. Now, they don't cancel because, well, it's only $20 a month. I'll get there eventually is the mentality, right? But they don't. Now, to me, that does not create an atmosphere of importance, support, or motivation. It's like, pay us $20. If you come, you come. If not, whatever. There's nothing personal there. There's no relationships that are built. And that might be fine for some people, but those people will actually show up. But the 67% of people that aren't showing up are the ones that need motivation, need coaching, need some kind of direction, even if it's just something simple. Hey, can you show me a few exercises? They're not getting that at these smaller gyms. It creates a way for someone to profit from other people that generally can't motivate themselves or just don't have the knowledge to do things on their own. So now that we're working 10 to 12 hours a day, the next thing to suffer is our food, of course. If we are working so much, we need food that is fast. So, cooking from raw ingredients takes a lot of time. Not going to lie, it does. I do it. I make time for it, but it does take a lot of time. You have to chop vegetables, make sauces, season your protein source. So, you know, this can take an hour or more, and who has time for that after you've already worked 10, 12 hours? When are you going to sleep? The whole other issue, when are you going to sleep? So this leads us to fast food, microwave dinners, wraps, burritos, and gas station dinners. Have you ever had dinner at a gas station? Have you? Dinner at a gas station? I've been there. I've done it. So, you know, these foods are full of added fats, added processed sugars, salt, and chemicals that all contribute to our failing heart health. Now, last week, I mentioned this in last week's show, but last week I posted a meme about a bacon double cheeseburger being 1,200 calories. That is a lot of calories, 1,200 calories. Now, it takes probably 5 minutes in the drive-thru at the most. It's supposed to be 3 minutes, having worked fast food. That's what I remember. But it probably takes about 5 minutes through the drive-thru and maybe 15 minutes to eat it, maybe. So 20 minutes. Now, how long do you think it would take you to run that off? For that 20 minutes that it took you to order and eat that bacon cheeseburger, it would take you 13.1 miles, which is a half marathon, and you have to do it in 2 hours and 10 minutes in order to burn off those calories. Because it is so, so calorie-dense without a lot of nutrients. Now, that's without fries and a Coke. If you get fries and a Coke, you got to up that even more. You're going to have to run another 5-mile cool-down when you're done. But the calories, they're only half of it. The calories are only half of it because you can get away with being thin and eating whatever you want if you watch your calories. That's one way to do it. But when we're buying these processed foods and fast foods, they often have added to them partially hydrogenated oil in order to make them more shelf-stable. And this is where we get our trans fats from. I'm sure by now you've heard about trans fats and how bad they are for us. And they're often found in margarine, potato chips, fast food meals, fried vegetables, pastries, boxed and canned foods, and even found naturally in beef as well as some dairy products. So why are trans fats so bad for us? Well, for starters, they raise your bad cholesterol, and it dings you twice by lowering your good cholesterol. So it's doing good and doing, or it's doing bad and doing bad is what it's doing. It's affecting your good cholesterol and affecting your bad cholesterol. And it puts you at risk for heart disease. Now, trans fat consumption is down due to education about this problem. I've been spouting out about it. Some states, it's actually illegal for fast food restaurants to use these trans fats, these partially hydrogenated oils. But it hasn't been pulled from the shelves, or it hasn't been made legal. So I guess it's okay to kill yourself slowly. That's okay. So apparently killing yourself slowly is okay for the FDA. However, further reducing trans fat consumption by avoiding artificial trans fats could prevent 10,000 to 20,000 heart attacks and 3,000 to 7,000 coronary heart disease deaths each year in the United States. So that's a pretty big percent just from the trans fats. So what is it can you do? We need, you know, we rely on fast foods because we're working 10 to 12 hours, and it's hard to get things in. There's a lot of barriers, so what can we do? Well, I mean, the simple answer is to eat better and exercise. Eat real food and exercise. But, you know, to follow through is often the hard part. That's where people fail, is the follow-through. You know what you need to do. I know you know what you need to do, but sometimes you need that support, that guidance, and extra knowledge. You know, the follow-through is very, very hard, at least with the food. In my line of work as a personal trainer and health coach, more people come to me for exercise than they do for food. Even though I tell them 80% of their health is going to be through their food, they still want that exercise first. But that's not going to help as much as you think. There are athletes that seem extremely healthy and they're in good shape, but they think that because they're exercising 3 hours a day, or if you're talking about professional athletes, they're exercising all day long, they can eat whatever they want because they need to get in extra calories. And they do. They need to take in more calories because they're burning so many off. and it's easier to get those calories from your fast foods and your fatty, you know, fat-laden foods. So, and on the appearance, on the outside, they look fine. And that's, and if that's all you're going for, if your goal is to look good on the outside, then fine. Eat whatever you want. But if your concern is heart disease and chronic illness, that's a different story. You know, on the inside, plaque and cholesterol is building up and getting you closer and closer to your first heart attack. Heart attacks usually aren't sudden. We always say, oh, he or she had a sudden heart attack out of nowhere. No, no. These things build up. It's usually a buildup of bad habits over a period of time. Think about it. I mean, a firecracker. Does a firecracker just explode? No, a firecracker doesn't explode. A firecracker has that wick. You light that wick, and it sets off that chain of events, and eventually, boom, then it explodes. It's the same thing with a heart attack. It's building up over time. So, and this is starting at the age of 9. A heart attack takes years to build up. And it actually is not even starting at 9. It starts at birth with sugary baby formula, Happy Meals, soda, and personal pizzas. Personal pizzas. Pizzas are supposed to be shared. You know, 10 to 12% of 2 to 5-year-olds in the United States, 5-year-olds, how is this happening? They have a completely clean metabolism. They are running around nonstop. If you don't believe me, come watch my daughter for an hour after a nap. Ding, 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 all over the place, right? Yet 10% of 2 to 5-year-olds are obese, and that is leading them right on the path to heart disease. And now these athletes in your neighborhood, that guy or that woman that runs 3 times a week or even three times a day, they had a heart attack. Oh, well, what's the point of exercising and eating health, you know, of exercising? Because that guy had a heart attack. And he runs all the time. How do you know he was eating healthy? Do you know what he was eating? You need to combine that physical activity with healthy food options to keep yourself fueled. Just because you clean the outside of your car doesn't mean you can put crappy gas in it and expect it to keep running well. It's not going to happen that way. So you have to change your food. You have to reduce the amount of processed foods that you're eating to get rid of manufactured sugars and fats that serve the body little to no purpose other than contributing to your heart attack, heart disease, and early death. And there are many barriers to this. I get that. Trust me, I get it. Time, knowledge, money, tricky advertising. And I can spend 30 minutes on each of those topics, probably longer if you let me ramble. But I can tell you this, you can't make time. There are 24 hours in a day no matter what you do. But you can take time for the things that are important to you. And you can find ways, if you make it a family event, to prep your food and plan your meals, you'll have less time. You'll have more time. But it has to be important to you. And then plan it correctly and make it a family effort so that you can cook healthy. 6, maybe 7, you know, at least 6 days out of the week, 5 or 6 days, okay? It's about kind of having an 80-20 lifestyle. So you have one day, just kind of chill for a little bit. Maybe that's the day you do your prep work, but you don't eat as healthy. It's okay. I'm not saying you have to be on point all the time. Now, here at our studio, we do offer a healthy food exchange to help with that. So if you cook one large healthy meal and then come here and you swap with us, when it works right and we have 5 or 6 people, you don't have to cook for a few days. It saves you so much time. You know, and also you can get $30 free trial with a company that I network with that does your prep work. So all you got to do is really slap it together. Meals take 10 minutes if they're vegetarian, maybe 20 or 30 minutes if they're not. Your sauces are made, your vegetables are chopped. So if you are in the Chicago area, private message me, and I can tell you how to get $30 off of your first order with that. And it's a great service. I love it. The other part is knowledge. You need to get with either a health coach that isn't selling some product or a nutritionist that specializes in whole food nutrition that isn't just trying to sell you bottles of pills. I mean, you're getting right back in the medical model there. So find a trainer or a health coach that practices whole food nutrition. If it isn't me, find somebody more local to you. This is what I do. you know, if a product seems too good to be true, obviously it is. So we have plenty of knowledge here between the three trainers that we have at our studio. And the last barrier to all this is money. Now, I can tell you, because I've done the math, that spending a little extra money, even as much as double the average American spends $75 a week on groceries, as well as another $53 eating out. I'll tell you, if you take that grocery bill and double it to $150 and eliminate that eating out, or at least reduce it, you are going to save yourself a ton of money in the long run. You're going to save anywhere from $250,000 to $500,000 for a family of three. How is that possible? I'm spending more money. How am I going to save money? Well, the average American over the age of 65 has two chronic illnesses apiece, and that costs about $7,900 out of pocket. Even after insurance, the average chronic illness costs you $7,900 a year, and the average American has two. So if you have a husband and a wife or domestic partner, whatever your situation is, and you're both over the age of 65 and you both have two chronic illnesses, that usually goes up once you hit 80. You can add another one. But let's say from the age of 65 to 85, you're both managing two chronic illnesses. Heart surgery alone is going to cost you $50,000 and then $10,000 per year to manage it. So let's say you add the diabetes to that and then multiply it by two. Now, a couple of two, each managing two chronic illnesses for 20 years from the age of 65 to 85, it's going to cost you $632,000 to manage those illnesses. You saved $75 a week, right? You saved $75 a week by, actually, you didn't even save that much. You only saved about $25 a week by eating food that was cheaper, that was cheaply made and not good for you, right? But by spending that extra $75 a week and eliminating or really severely reducing how often you eat out, let's say you're getting you're spending $150 on groceries now a week instead of $150, but you're also not spending any money on fast food, that other $53, it's only going to cost you $234,000 over 60 years. That's it. So if you start eating healthy at the age of 25 and you eliminate the chance for chronic illness, you're going to save right there almost $400,000. No matter how you crunch the numbers, you're going to save a ton of money. I had it figured out where you'd save $200,000. That's an $8,000 vacation every year for 25 years because you're investing in your health up front. So remember that. The cost of chronic illness for two people for 20 years, each with two chronic illnesses apiece, $632,000. If you have more than that, now we're talking diabetes, we're talking arthritis, we're talking about heart disease, all these things we associate with getting older, Alzheimer's, all that kind of stuff, it's going to cost you $632,000 over a period of 20 years. But if you increase your grocery bill by $75 a week, you're only going to spend $234,000. Again, saving $400,000. That is a lot of money. How much do you plan to retire with? Are you going to retire with $1 million? Even if you retire with $1 million, you're only going to have $368,000 to play with. The rest of that's going towards medical costs. Two-thirds of what you save for retirement is going to go for medical costs. You really want to pay that? So that is what you can do to avoid heart disease and chronic illness. That is what we need to do. Don't give in to it runs in my family or this and that. It is 100%. Nah, we'll go 95%. 95% lifestyle choices. Yes, if you are predisposed to heart disease, if it runs in your family, yes, you will have a harder time. Just means you got to work a little bit harder, but it can be done. Now, join me in 2 weeks when I return. We're going to take next week off as I talk about why comfort food isn't always the best medicine. So look for us on Facebook look for us at Momentum Fitness and Health, and also look for us online at findingyourmomentum.com. We're going to keep this live feed going every time we do this, again, in our private group and in our public page. So hopefully you guys will be able to join me every week, or you can always come back and listen to it later. So I will be back with you guys in about 2 weeks. Until then, I hope that you find your momentum.
That's all that I am now. That's all.